Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, I'm going to tell you the real reason WWE turned Becky Lynch heel.
The Miz and Morrison split on Monday Night Raw.
Going to tell you how CM Punk's AEW debut did in terms of ratings.
And I'm going to tell you the real reason Kofi Kingston isn't on TV at the moment. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
And we're going to kick things off by talking about Becky Lynch, which we did on two separate news videos yesterday, and we're going to do on at least one today. But a new bit of information surrounding her SummerSlam comeback and her heel turn has now come out. Dave Meltzer, in the latest daily update for Figure 4 Online / The Wrestling Observer, confirms Mike Johnson from PW Insider's report that WWE do consider her a heel now, and adds that Becky herself actually requested this. So a bunch of stories came out yesterday kind of saying that Vince came up with the idea to change the title and squash Bianca Belair, but it's Becky's idea itself, the heel turn, which is... It certainly doesn't make the situation any better for me. I still think it's a weird thing that's kind of disconnected from what the audience wants from this character. But Becky's obviously very skilled, and we'll see how she's able to do with it and how she's received on SmackDown this week. But it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because she came out like the conquering hero, and she's happy, and she's fired up. And yeah, she was a bit of an asshole in the match, like with a handshake and everything else, and then just destroying Bianca. But afterwards, she was all smiles and everything. She wasn't behaving like much of a villain before and after the match itself. So it's interesting to learn this. Maybe Becky just wants to do something new after being the bulk hero for so long. But you know, it's going to take a pretty great segment on this week's SmackDown to convince me that this was a good idea.
Yeah, it's really difficult this, because I was all over the place when it happened, because like I said, I felt like we needed to give it time. And as these stories unfolded, I think it's been more and more justified in terms of allowing us till at least Friday. I gave WWE until Friday to resolve this bollocks. I have faith in Becky Lynch managing to nail this on Friday. We said yesterday, when it was being reported that WWE were the ones who were wanting her to turn heel, that she could knock it out of the park. I think it's a great change of character for her. I think it's a hell of a hard turn to make, like you say, because she just came back and everyone adored her. But, you know, Ryan Satin, I believe, was reporting that there was just deafening boos when they recapped the Becky Lynch-Bianca Belair segment on last night's Raw in the arena. And, I don't know, maybe this will work. It's, like you say, I think it's going to require Becky Lynch to do the promo, not WWE. I don't know any of you people any an explanation for this, because they just don't cut the mustard anymore, do they?
No, absolutely. And when you the thing with like hearing about the crowd reaction on Raw for the clip is like, are those boos for Becky, or are they for the people who scripted it, is always the question.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we have to ask in situations like this. So, hey, look, we'll see how it pans out. We've been a lot more forgiving with this than a lot of other people have. But, you know, I'd love to be proven wrong on a situation like this. But, yeah, we'll just have to see how Becky reacts on SmackDown and how the audience react to her as well.
And also interesting to see where Sasha Banks fits into all this, because it felt like she was the top heel on SmackDown. You and I were speculating whether it was going to be Bianca Belair who's going to turn on Becky as a result of what happened, but now it's going to be Becky who's going to be heel. So, yeah, it's all changed, basically. And then we've got a bloody draft in, what was it, October. So, who knows? But, like I said, you've got till Friday, WWE. Don't screw this up. Speaking of... No, not screw-ups. I thought they nailed this, actually, last night. John Morrison and The Miz, they are no more. That was Andy Murray's subheading to this article about the split between Miz and Morrison on last night's Raw. I was, to be honest, hoping he was going to go with, hey, hey, oh, no. But, you know, that's just me. Basically what happened on last night's Moist TV with Logan Paul, who got booed out of the Sodding Arena. Miz interrupted as Morrison was trying to interview Logan Paul. There was bickering. I have no idea who was meant to be the babyface in all this because people hated Morrison still a little bit because of his association with Miz. They hated Logan Paul and they hated The Miz. And then The Miz was almost the babyface in all this just because he was taking the piss out of Logan Paul and saying Jake Paul's going to get KO'd by Tyron Woodley on Saturday. Anyway, Xavier Woods comes out and has a match with The Miz. In the midst of all that, Morrison tries to help Miz with the dripstick that actually distracts him. That allows Xavier to win by, you guessed it, Simon Miller's favourite manoeuvre, the surprise roll-up. And it seemed like everything was fine. And then the moment Morrison turned his back on Miz, jumps him, of course. Miz hit Morrison with a skull-crushing finale. And later on in this show, Morrison cut a promo saying he was going to have a match and settle this next week. I'll bet it's not settled next week. With that double-crossing son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, about time, but yeah. I like this. And death taxes and Miz and Morrison splitting up are the three... three definite things that always happen in life.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good idea. I think that, you know, they've been building to it for a few weeks and the act had become a bit samey, I think, over the past few weeks and months. I don't think that's an unfair comment. Something new will benefit the both of them, and I think the crowd really wants to cheer for Morrison as a babyface at the moment. So, hey, it's a good idea across the board. Absolutely.
Have Morrison win this feud quickly and move on to better things because he's so talented and they've never given him the push that he deserved.
100%. Anyway, we don't usually talk ratings on this show unless it's something really great or something really bad. We don't get into the week-to-week of it unless it's exceptional. And the Rampage ratings are in for CM Punk's debut and they are exceptional. These are just tremendous figures here. Data comes to us from Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics and Showbuzz Daily. But basically, across the hour, an average of 1.129 million viewers, which is a huge increase on the previous week, which was around 740,000. That's a massive increase. In the 18 to 49 demographic as well, the rating increased from 0.31 to 0.53. This means that Rampage was second on the night amongst cable shows, finishing second only to an NFL preseason game, which only did 0.02 more in the demo, which is how shows are ranked on the night. This is a colossal success. This greatly exceeds the most educated guesses on this, the most educated estimates from your likes of your Brandon Thurstons, who were predicting around 850 to 900,000 and maybe like a demo rating somewhere in the lower 0.4s. This greatly exceeds those. And also you have to consider that this is 10 p.m. on a Friday night, brother. And the show still came in with a couple of points behind SmackDown, which goes out on a better network in a better time slot. I mean, for context, right? The closest other cable show airing at 10 p.m. on the night was something called The Ingram Angle, which drew less than half of the rating of Rampage at 0.22. It's just a colossal success across the board. There's no way in hell that anyone can objectively paint this as any kind of failure. People tuned in droves. In the AEW office and the TNT office, they would have been popping bottles after seeing these numbers come in, and they have every right to feel very happy. The CM Punk train rolls on, and we'll see what he does on Dynamite this week.
So, Andy Murray, are you telling me that CM Punk is a needle mover?
Turns out he is. Turns out he is.
Interesting, that one. My favourite bit of all this, obviously massive congratulations to AEW and to CM Punk. And as Miller tweeted, and as we always should think about, the more people watching wrestling, the better. Let's not get, you know, divisive in amongst all this. just everyone enjoy what they like and get other people to watch it as well, because wrestling, when it's good, can be fantastic. Look at this last weekend we just had. But I did love the, in the words of Michael Sidgwick, WWE mutants, who were just like, well, I thought SmackDown... SmackDown beat it, so that means it's better. And also, if they didn't do 9 million viewers, then it's an objective failure.
These people don't know what they're talking about. They have no knowledge of how these things work. When you come out and say stuff like, I saw a bunch of people saying, oh, it didn't do 2 million, that's a failure. What are you on about, man? Research this time slot. Research what shows usually do at Friday at 10 p.m. when the 18 to 49 demographic aren't sitting in their home watching TV, they're going out and having a beer. It's like you always learn when you're on social media to separate the signal from the noise. It's very difficult to do in 2021, but don't let anyone tell you otherwise. These numbers are fantastic. They are greatly above expectations, and everyone involved with this will be delighted with how it performed.
Very interesting to see how Dynamite does in the ratings as well this week. But let's conclude by talking about Kofi Kingston and why he hasn't been on TV recently, aside from standing in the background with Xavier Woods holding a sign saying, buy our merch. Well, according to PW Insider's Mike Johnson, he basically just isn't cleared to compete at the moment. No word as to the reasoning why that is, what the injury or issue is. And again, as always with these sort of things, we're not going to speculate on that. But it's enough to prevent him from appearing or competing. Well, not even competing, appearing, basically. He was actually going to be part of that pointless, let's be honest, SummerSlam segment with Miz and Morrison and Xavier Woods cosplaying as Razor Ramon that Andy nearly blew his top at because he'd been awake for 48 hours or something like that. But yeah, he's not cleared to compete. We obviously, as always, hope he gets well soon. But that's the reason he's not been on our TV recently, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hoping for a swift return. I did think it was weird when Xavier Woods came out on his own at SummerSlam and just wasted everyone's time with that segment. But that explains it, and we hope Kofi's back real quick.
And that segment was apparently some water-sponsored segment. Yeah. So surprise, surprise, more advertising bollocks on a pay-per-view from WWE. Anyway, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Mimi, who says, hi guys, with reports of Hiroshi Tanahashi versus John Moxley not taking place at All Out, where does Mox fit in at that pay-per-view, if at all?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Tanahashi's gone back to Japan to work a New Japan match the day before All Out with Kota Ibushi, so he's not going to be on All Out. That match is off. For me, there's no obvious storyline for Moxley, so what you do is you use him as the last-minute banger option for the pay-per-view. We've seen this in the past, AEW just adding a match that they know is going to be cool with minimal story. They did it for Orange Cassidy and Pac at Revolution 2020. They did it with Serena Deeb and Riho at Double or Nothing this year. John Moxley, Tomohiro Ishii, announce it on like Thursday, it'll bang, it'll be awesome. They've got a little bit of history in New Japan, but not an extensive amount. That's all you need. That's my pick.
Or if you want the real needle movers from Friday night, it actually wasn't CM Punk, guys. Moxley and Kingston 2.0
being in
4 minutes or something. Right, second question today comes from Haley from Camp Crystal Lake, who says, at this point in his run, would you guys consider Riddle a successful NXT call-up? They're very rare, but you might have a point, Andy.
Yeah, I would consider him one of the absolute most successful NXT call-ups at this stage. I mean, look, he's not out here headlining pay-per-views or whatever, but if you listen to his crowd reactions last night at SummerSlam, he is over as hell. He's working a program with Randy Orton, who is obviously like one of Vince's most beloved sons. If Vince had the opportunity to make Randy Orton his son, he would definitely do that. Vince apparently loves the comedy and everything else. He's been United States champion. He's the Raw Tag Team champion now as well. He's, you know, the character isn't always going to be for everyone, but it's not like he's out there like jobbing hard every week. He's not dressing like, in the words of Michael Sidgwick, a demolition gimp like Karrion Kross is now with that stupid mask and the crisscrossing straps.
Oh my God, what are they doing with him?
Yeah, man. Like, for me, honestly, like, I'd have to sit down and think about it, but Riddle's probably like a top five call-up of all time. He's been tremendous.
I know, yeah, I've got to completely echo what you say there. And Damian Priest, again, fantastic reactions for him on last night's Raw. He's just won the United States Championship. It feels like they're, you know, eventually building up to be a world title challenger, maybe even for Bobby Lashley in the near future. Yeah, like you say, there's a lot of bodies left in the wake of WWE's main roster call-up. Two of them faced each other last night in Karrion Kross versus Ricochet. Yeah. That bloody demolition shredder, and when average Joes get dressed as the gimps from in Dodgeball. What are they playing at? Yeah, Adam Cole's mind wasn't made up already. It is now. But yeah, absolutely. Riddle. I personally, next year's Survivor Series, I'd have two new world champions facing off against each other. And that, of course, Andy, is Riddle and Boogs. Because Boogs is the next world champion. He's the one who should beat Roman Reigns. Final question today comes from Simon Patterson, who says, morning, guys. With Rhea Ripley's reaction to Nikki A.S.H.'s celebration after their win, similar to Randy Orton's constant reaction to Riddle, do you think WWE is trying to lay foundations for the female RK-Bro?
Yes, 100%. 100%. They love this stuff, don't they? I mean, they've always loved kind of like the odd couple tag team. They've been doing it for decades. But at the moment, it's wild. They've obviously got RK-Bro. They've got Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali. They've just split up Eva Marie and Doudrop, which was a similar deal. They did Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa before they eventually came together down in NXT. They're
doing it. And Zoe Stark, a bloody tag champ, down in boom. NXT.
There you go. They are overdosing on this stuff at the moment, and that's absolutely what they're doing. I will say that I thought the match last night was pretty damn good, though. So it's a good start.
Yes, exactly. I think there are more odd couple tag teams than regular tag teams in WWE right now. I'll get Brandon Thurston. He's good with numbers and that sort of thing, so we'll get him to check that. But yeah, I mean, it's just copy my homework, but make it look like it's not copied, basically. Right, let's move on to today's and finally, and shout out to friend of the channel, Joey Janella, who did a lovely gesture on Twitter last night. Basically, someone tweeted him, basically saying that their 12-year-old got in trouble for wearing a Joey Janella bad boy face mask to school. Everyone wear a mask. It's the right thing to do, guys. She said, such a rotten time to be a kid right now. And Janella quote tweeted him replying, saying, send me a DM, I'll send him more stuff, I'll say, so he can get in trouble with it. What a lovely gesture, Andy.
What a lovely thing to do. This kid's going to be walking around school in like 7 pieces of Joey Janella merch. You love to see it. You love to see it.
Just wrestlers being nice. Always nice to see, like you say. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Oh, it was a busy old day yesterday and today. Myself and Sidge are going to be reviewing Monday Night Raw and looking ahead to the post-takeover NXT and whatever the hell that's going to look like in the next few weeks and months. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H today stands for Hylobatine, which means of, like, or pertaining to gibbons. a word I use every day.
I love this new word of the day. Fantastic. So follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilbold. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. But for now, my thanks, Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon, you bunch of gibbons.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.